Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of our Dream Team podcast. This is season 1. We're glad that you have checked it out. If this is your 4th consistent time listening to this podcast, thank you for joining us.
Bonus points.
Today we are going to be really just chatting about pursuing people, and we're excited about that. But before we jump in, Joel, you had some vacation time.
We were gone for spring break. We were in Florida visiting family. So we wanted Jess's side of the family. A lot of them live down there. So we wanted them to meet Manny, but we kind of bundled it. They live near the beach and all that different stuff. So probably the one highlight was going to the beach with the kids. Mm-hmm. They were like so, they're at that age where that like is just exciting and fun, and the mess is fun. Mm-hmm. You know, we found a shark tooth. I shared that a few Sundays ago, and Ava rolled in the sands, and getting it off of her was just crazy, but she didn't care. She was like, this is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. Manny enjoyed it. So that was outside of seeing family meeting Manny, everybody kind of family reunion style being together, probably the beach. But you also had time away.
Yes.
A little getaway, weekend getaway. Where'd you guys go? Yeah, what was the highlight?
Columbus, nice. With the Kaisers. So Taylor Bryan, if you're listening to this, hello. Mm-hmm. But we went to Columbus, went to Kosai. We went and ate a lot of good food. We stayed in an Airbnb, a house in a rather sketchy area, but it was fine. It was fine. They had a security system, it was fine. It was fine.
Beep, beep, beep.
Did our kids cooperate with us? No. Did they nap really at all? No. Did they sleep? Not really.
Yeah.
So,
you know, on a vacation.
Is it relaxing? Not, absolutely not. But when you're doing it with friends, when you're doing it with other people who've got kids same age, feels a little bit more manageable, or at least you get to look at each other and silently plead for help with your eyes, and you know you're bonding emotionally with someone else.
That is accurate. You get each other. You're like, we're doing this. We wanted to get away for it to be fun, relaxing goodness.
Yep.
And it is fun. Mm-hmm. And it is good. It's not relaxing.
But you joke about needing a vacation after the vacation. You almost feel like you're more relaxed once you get home.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're in your own environment. The kids aren't trying to catapult themselves down the stairs and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Chaos.
It's just chaos. Absolutely. But it's good.
Chaos.
You know, I'm glad you got away. It's good to get away at this stage. I think of this stage as... We're just going to go try to have as much fun, pile in as much memories.
Yes.
There'll be a day where they'll just want to sleep in till 11 on vacation.
Yep.
And me and Jess will be on the beach by ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be like, where's all the fun? And
gosh,
so
it's hard to imagine that that's true, but it is.
It will be someday.
I remember being that
teenager. Like, I am a zombie. I don't know what happens. So it is good nonetheless. Geez.
All right. Well, we are talking today about pursuing people, one of those elements of our Dream Team creed, which is pursuing Jesus, pursuing excellence, and pursuing people. And today, again, is pursuing people. This is one of the ways that at Grace Church, we love to make Jesus make sense in. There are, you know, a bunch of foundational truths that we believe at Grace Church. We have a bunch of values, but this one, pursuing people, really highlights pursuing and practicing gospitality. That may be a word that you've heard us use before, intersecting the gospel and what we know to be true about Jesus and how he loves us with hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other values is that we are better together, which is just true in so many ways. And in pursuing people, we want those two truths to always be foundational. We always want those to be the core, that we will practice hospitality and remind ourselves that we are better as a unit.
Yeah, and today we just want to chat about kind of the overarching idea of what pursuing people means. And we've talked about this in previous episodes, the kind of motivation of we get to do that, right? I think one of the really basic starting points is we pursue people because Jesus first pursued us. So why do we pursue people? It's because Jesus pursued us when we were at our worst, when we were far away, when we were far off, and he brought us in. And so the idea of pursuing people is really at the heart of the gospel. It's at the heart of what Jesus has done for us, and we want to play that out in such a way that points people to Jesus. So that is probably the most foundational understanding of this. So why do we get to? Because Jesus got to, and he pursued us, and we want to do that. So let me encourage to start here. Your serving of others, you're going up and meeting others, you're intentional looking for others in your personal life, but also in practicing this out in Dream Team life, is very much displaying the gospel to a world around us. But I also think there's some deeper things that I wanted to talk about and have us chat about. And really, I was prepping for this and I was listening to a podcast, and I've never read the book I'm about to reference. So just an FYI, I don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent. It is by an author named David Brooks, and he is a follower of Jesus, but works in kind of the news world. And he wrote a book called How to Know a Person. And I was listening to a podcast about someone else talking about the book, and it was interesting how it intersected into this person's life and how it maybe changed some perspective around what it means to love people, what it means to get to know people. And it just resonated with where we are at with the idea of pursuing people. And so inside of the book, and we'll talk about a little bit of this, but really he's arguing there's a desperate need of connection for others, for just people to have. And how do we go about that? And what is the antithesis to that? So we live in a lonely world. We live in a world that deeply needs connection. How do we do that well? And what does that kind of look like inside of our life? And where do we go there? And I think one of the first starting points, this wasn't necessarily mentioned in the book or in the podcast, but one of the first starting points when it comes to why we would get to know people, pursue people, desire connection, go up and meet people for the first time, is really understanding that everyone is made in the image of God. And so that's a foundational truth also, that when anybody walks through the doors, we just assume that we are going to meet them there. They're made in the image of God. They have value, they have worth, they have inherent kind of meaning to their life because they're on this earth. And so we want to meet them at that place. So why would I pursue a connection? Well, it starts there. But then inside of the book, he goes into an interesting conversation about how do we actually get to know people, do that well, and do it in what I would say is a loving way. And he kind of takes two things and contrasts them. And he uses this word diminishers and illuminators, okay? And basically what he would say is this, is that a diminisher actually doesn't successfully connect with people. Diminishing or diminisher would be a very selfish lens of how I connect with people. So I need something from them. I'm getting something from them. I want to prove something to them, all of those things. Whereas an illuminator would be someone who seeks to love someone and to build them up, to kind of illuminate the really positive things inside of them, to illuminate the world to them, to kind of bring them into a circle to connect. And really when he was talking about this, and we'll get into the weeds of it, I just continually thought of Jesus, right? When we read scripture, the entire gospel stories are Jesus just illuminating people. He sees his disciples, invites them in. He sees families like Mary and Martha, Lazarus. He sees people who need healing, the blind, and he calls them out in a good, positive way, but he invites them in, he speaks to them, he sees them, and in a culture that had a lot of different shame and honor dynamics, he goes to people who would naturally be shamed and invites them into relationship. And so some of the things that I think were interesting that he pointed out, so a diminisher, let's just overarchingly say that a diminisher is someone who is connecting with others in a selfish motive. There's probably a lot of ways we could take that and stuff, but for sake of time, that's what he would mean. And so he would say, if you're doing it for your own self-worth, self-glory, self-fame, you're actually a diminisher in connecting, and you're not producing real and loving connection. But an illuminator, and he uses this idea of an illuminator's gaze or an illuminator kind of interaction. He says there's a couple different things. There's tenderness involved, affection, generosity, receptivity, curiosity. In all of those words, what they are inherently doing is they're loving someone for nothing other than the fact that we've first been loved. And so I think the question that kind of produces out of this is in my life, am I a diminisher and illuminator? And how do I become more like an illuminator, which would be Jesus, right? How do I acknowledge someone's worth and someone's inherence value. Mm-hmm. How do I connect with them emotionally? How do I ask good questions and listen well? How do I open my ears to diverse perspectives without feeling threatened or pushing back? Yeah. How do I invite people to tell me their story without leaning into stereotyping them and things of that nature, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, man, if done well, that may be the greatest evangelistic strategy of our day. Mm-hmm. Because I think the antithesis of that, stereotyping and lacking value and worth, lacking even seeing someone or approaching someone, is distancing and what the world tends to set us up to do. Mm-hmm. We segment, we hate, all those things. But to see someone and acknowledge someone, to give someone attention, to ask questions, mm-hmm. man, that can change someone's perspective about Jesus mm-hmm. and ultimately create a connection there. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first question is, am I a diminisher? Am I an illuminator? I know I've seen at least really good examples in my life. Is there any good examples you have of illuminators in your life that you that saw you, that interacted with you, that maybe called you into a community or connection moments?
For sure.
Throughout your life,
I think that in some ways it's happening now. I think for a long time in my life, like I had to really muscle relationships a lot of the time, that I just kind of flip-flopped between like friend groups and all that kind of stuff. I felt like a floater in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think that someone actually at our campus right now is doing that for me. I think that a huge illuminator is Hannah Hicken. I think she's really, really good at that. And she loves people really well. She brings people in. She is willing to listen, to be tender, to respond with kindness and compassion, but also with gentleness and like truth, which has happened before in my life. I don't want to say it hasn't, but it's just happening in a new way.
Yeah.
And not only is she on our team, but she's one of my friends, which is just a beautiful thing.
Cool.
And to be able to see that play out like on a Sunday morning and in my life is so cool. And I think with her specifically, like she, I was thinking about this as you were talking, she is not only an illuminator like in practice, in person, but also like in her personal life, which I think is really beautiful and something that even I can struggle with sometimes. I feel like on the outside, I can be trying to bring people in and communicate, but on the inside, I'm stereotyping, or on the inside, I'm having negative thoughts, or on the inside, I'm doing the opposite of what I'm supposed to be, you know, called to do as an illuminator. So I'm just grateful that I have a great example in her of that, and then also, of course, in Jesus of that, and how many times he's done that in scripture. But it's a beautiful thing to be like an innate illuminator.
Which is really cool, and to be able to see that personally. And then to reciprocate that, I think you hit something really, really powerful and challenging, is sometimes I can externally look like an illuminator, but internally be a diminisher in the way that I think about interacting, right? And one of the lines he has is, true attention is an act of love. So to have real, true, meaningful attention towards someone, to really get to know who they are without any sort of selfish gain, promotion coming from that to you is an act of love towards the person. And so I'm okay leaving here without really gaining or climbing any sort of ladder, right? And so I think to myself, the question then becomes, like, how is this playing out in your life? And how do I reflect upon Jesus being the greatest illuminator as a way to remember that he's illuminated me first. He saw me, he came after me, he invited me in. That's the only thing I need to then be an illuminator of someone else, is to reflect upon that. And then how am I doing that well for others? And I think we, no matter if you're Power Kids, First Impressions, Parking Lot, that is one of our main job responsibilities, is to just illuminate anybody that walks through the doors. See them, to love them, to care about them, to get to know them, to spend time focusing on them, attention on them. That's why I think putting phones down, being there early, being able to get our eyes up and see people that we don't know, mm-hmm. Being willing to have the awkward conversation of like, mm-hmm. this is your first time here, you know, yeah. and being able to create deep connection and grow simultaneously mm-hmm. is really important. And so how does this play out for you on the team? But I also think you pointed out in your story there, how's this playing out in your personal life, mm-hmm. right? And I think that there is a dynamic of it's easy sometimes to do it when you're on.
Yeah.
And it's easy to not do it when you're at home or you're off.
Yeah.
But man, I think Jesus gives us the opportunity to lay down our life in such a way for our family, mm-hmm. for our neighbors, for those who don't know Jesus yet, for our coworkers, mm-hmm. to illuminate them inside of it. Mm-hmm. Now, an interesting thing, and then we'll end, that he noted inside of this. It's hard to do all this.
Yeah.
And primarily it's hard because it takes time mm-hmm. and energy. And there's often days that I just don't want to connect with people. I'm just like, I'm done. I don't want to do it. And the question he asked is this, am I willing to be interrupted inside of life mm-hmm. for the sake of this happening well yeah. and this transcending love to another? And so my encouragement would be is this, yes, answer the question, how's it play out on my team? Am I doing that well? Mm-hmm. How's it play out in my personal life? Am I doing that well? The question that I think we have to end with is, am I willing to be interrupted for the sake of illuminating people mm-hmm. and not diminishing people and illuminating myself in the process? Mm-hmm. And so I think great examples are, you have a responsibility inside of your role at the church. Are you willing to be interrupted while doing something for the sake of illuminating someone? Mm-hmm. Not running over people so that we can get the things done, but mm-hmm. to ultimately love people well and, mm-hmm. and pause and be able to do that. Same with at home. And so that was I think that's the question that ultimately we got to wrestle with, not simply just how does this play out on my team?
Yeah.
Or how does this play out in my personal life? But am mm-hmm. I willing to be interrupted for the sake of illuminating others? Because mm-hmm. oftentimes, that's when it hits the ground.
Yeah,
you know, sure. That's when the rubber meets the road in a lot of ways. So our encouragement this month or this episode is, what would it look like to pursue people by being illuminator inside of their life to pursue true connection, real and real love? And to ultimately, I think, grow mm-hmm. simultaneously, and what that means.
For sure. And it's hard. I mean, it'll mm-hmm. make you feel uncomfortable occasionally. It takes practice. Yeah. You know, you don't just show up and you're like, bam, I'm an illuminator now. Yeah. Yeah. But it takes time, yes. It takes energy, and it takes doing it together. And I yeah. think that's, as we mentioned earlier, not only hospitality, but we are better together. And so we yeah. can do it together, and we can encourage each other as we go to do this better mm-hmm. and better and better as we go.
Yeah, I think you're right. It does take time, and it takes risk. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have to be willing to try those things.
Yep.
And fail and get back up, try it again, and that produces growth and connection with others. So yep. You're right, it just takes time.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us on episode 4 of our Dream Team podcast on pursuing people. We will see you next time.
Bye.